staying ahead in the entertainment supply chain? Well, it means knowing where things are headed maybe before they even get there.
Exactly.
So let's just cut right to it. We're diving deep into the latest global film and TV production trends. Specifically, what unfolded in March 2025?
Yeah, we've really sifted through quite a bit here. Production trackers, industry reports, and even this really interesting sentiment study. Mm-hmm. Trying to pull out the crucial insights for everyone listening. Think of it as, you know, your essential briefing on the shifts happening right now.
Okay, so our mission today is pretty laser focused. We want to unpack the key movements in global production for March.
Right.
We're talking about that noticeable drop we saw in Asia Pacific.
Yeah. Oh, stay.
Kind of flatter performance in the Americas and EMEA, and also that, well, frankly, surprising surge in development projects.
And for you, the execs navigating the supply chain, understanding these nuances, it's not just tracking numbers, is it?
No, definitely not.
It's about spotting those market changes, seeing potential growth areas, and, well, ultimately making smarter strategic calls. So let's get into what these trends mean for you.
Okay, let's unpack this. So the big picture first. Global production activity in March 2025, it dipped about 8% compared to February.
An 8% dip globally, yeah.
But here's where it gets really interesting, I think. The regional variations tell, well, a much more nuanced story.
Oh, absolutely. You look at the Asia-Pacific region, APAC, and it took a much bigger hit. Production down 28%. That's a sharp decrease.
28%. Wow. But the key thing to note here, isn't it, is that because APAC's overall slice of the global pie was a bit smaller.
Right. Its contribution.
That sharp regional drop only pulled the global number down by that sort of moderate 8%.
Exactly. Meanwhile, you've got the Americas North and South combined and EMEA. Both saw much smaller dips, around 5% each. So pretty stable, really.
Basically flat performance in those major areas.
Which is fascinating, especially when you contrast it with what's happening on the development front. While production slowed in March, actual development activity, well, it jumped.
Jumped how much?
Globally, new IP and development projects were up 49%. 49% from February to March. That's a huge signal about what's coming next.
Almost 50%.
Yeah.
That really points to future work, doesn't it? And EMEA was leading that charge.
Oh, massively. They saw a remarkable 118% increase in development projects.
118%. Okay, why? What's driving that boom specifically in EMEA?
That's the key question, isn't it? And it really seems to be fueled by a very deliberate push to build up local industries there.
How so?
We're seeing government stepping up with grants, dedicated development funds, lots of support from film commissions. Think Austria, Germany, Spain, the UK.
Right. That focused investment.
Yeah. It creates this fertile ground for getting new projects off the ground.
So for people in the supply chain, what's the takeaway? This intense focus on development in EMEA, it suggests a real long-term play, doesn't it?
Precisely. Studios, production companies there, they seem to be investing heavily, laying the groundwork now for a future wave of content.
Mm-hmm.
It points towards, you know, maybe a more diverse content landscape down the line. Fresh stories, new talent, maybe different production models.
So potential ripple effects across the whole supply chain later this year or next.
Could be. Think about demand for specific post services, location needs, talent sourcing. It could all shift based on what's being developed now in EMEA.
Okay, let's drill down a bit more into the regional production for March. Back to EMEA, which, as we said, production-wise, pretty flat overall. What kept things steady there?
Well, part of it seems to be a bit of a drop in commissioning spend from traditional broadcasters. You know, the established TV networks may be allocating slightly less budget for new shows.
It makes sense with the streamers competing.
Exactly. It reflects that ongoing shift in their business models. But that dip seems to have been balanced out by other factors keeping overall production levels steady.
Interesting. So traditional TV pulls back slightly, but others fill the gap. And within EMEA, didn't we also see some shifts in what was getting greenlit? Fewer co-productions, more book adaptations?
Yeah, that's a keen observation. The drop in co-pros might suggest maybe a move towards more localized stuff, or perhaps just partnerships shifting around.
In the books?
The rise in book adaptations? Well, that could point to wanting stories with a built-in audience, maybe seen as lower risk in a, you know, changing market.
Makes sense.
We also saw German companies really stepping up their commissioning, a noticeable increase, which directly led to more German language content getting made.
So Germany is a bit of a bright spot there in EMEA. What about the big UK players?
Yeah.
ITV, BBC.
ITV actually increased both its new commissions and renewals, so a strong commitment there. Netflix and the BBC, that kind of held steady, consistent activity.
And wasn't there a notable return, someone who was quiet in Feb?
Yes. Warner Bros. Discovery EMEA. They came back onto the scene with several new project commissions in March after being absent the month before.
That's significant.
Yeah.
A major player re-engaging.
Definitely something to watch. On the flip side, though, Channel 4 and Prime Video, they actually saw fewer commission deals in March. Just shows how dynamic it is.
Okay, let's shift focus now eastward to APAC. That 28% drop in new commissions, that's a big number. What was happening there?
It is a substantial decrease, yeah. And within APAC, a really interesting language shift happened.
Oh.
For the first time, Japanese actually overtook English as the top commissioned language.
Oh.
And what's also striking, an overwhelming 92% of those commissioned projects in APAC were scripted. Huge focus on narrative.
So Japanese scripted content is booming, even as the overall region contracts.
Seems that way. And looking at other big players, India and Indonesia, they both saw fewer new projects commissioned in March. They contributed to that overall drop.
Right.
But the pockets of growth that did exist in APAC, though not enough to offset the decline, were really led by Japan, and then South Korea followed. So maybe a bit of a regional shift within Asia.
Okay, turning now to the Americas North and South. Production levels pretty stable, just that minor dip. But you mentioned something interesting about pilot episodes.
Yeah, that slight dip in overall production was kind of balanced by this encouraging little bump in pilot orders.
Which could mean more full series later.
Exactly. Pilots are often that first step. And these new ones were mainly driven by Fox Network, then ABC and FX Networks following behind, suggests they're actively looking for the next new thing.
And we also saw a couple of maybe newer or rebranded entities pop up as key commissioners in the Americas, A plus E and Staircase.
That's right. A plus E Networks rebranded, didn't they? To A plus E Global Media.
Ah, yes. In March.
Yeah. And that name change, it really signals their strategic shift, moving beyond just cable TV, focusing more on their own studios, digital stuff, global licensing.
And that showed up in commissions straight away.
Immediately. A wave of new project commissions from them in March. And Staircase Studios AI, yeah, that's another interesting one. Maybe points to AI's growing role, but we need to see more on their strategy.
Okay, let's talk genres and languages globally for March. Drama, still king.
Drama remained the top genre globally, yeah. Not a huge surprise, it's consistently popular, but comedy held a strong second place.
So audiences want drama, but they also want to laugh.
Right.
Seems pretty stable.
Pretty much reflects that consistent demand. Language-wise, English still had the biggest share, about half of all projects.
50%.
But, reflecting those regional strengths we talked about, German and Japanese productions were next in line, second and third, underscores what's happening in EMEA and APAC.
And who was actually writing the most checks? The top commissioners overall in March?
The big names really stood out. Netflix, ITV, and the BBC were the top three.
No major surprises there, perhaps?
Not huge surprises, no. Their continued high volume just shows that ongoing substantial investment in new content.
Right.
It's also worth noting Netflix isn't just doing English stuff. They commission new Spanish language titles, too, showing that global strategy.
Good point. Okay, let's touch on season renewals. They're important for stability, right? Keeping viewers engaged.
Yeah.
What were the regional trends there in March?
Super important. And in APAC, renewals were actually up, a 16% increase compared to February.
Really? Driven by what?
Largely fueled by Japanese anime and scripted shows continuing their runs. And interestingly, both India and Japan saw more of their existing shows getting renewal deals.
So strong continuity for established content in APAC, even with the new commission dip. What about EMEA renewals?
EMEA was a bit more mixed for renewals in March. Some big players who were active in Fed, like Netflix, ZDF in Germany, Fox Network, they were actually absent from the renewal lists in March. Mm. The BBC also scaled back a bit on renewals, but ITV, again, bucked the trend, increasing renewals. And Warner Bros. Discovery EMEA, they popped up in renewals too, alongside their new commissions.
And content-wise in EMEA renewals?
English and German language shows were prominent, and reality programming also saw quite a few renewals.
Okay, and finally, renewals in the Americas. What happened there?
In the Americas, A plus E Global Media, remember their rebrand? they actually emerged as the leader in renewals for March.
After having none in Feb.
Exactly. A big shift. Netflix saw a slight dip in its renewals, and Discovery Channel and Fox Network, who renewed shows in Feb, were missing in March.
Any genre shifts in American renewals?
Yes, this was interesting. Reality programming actually overtook drama as the top genre for renewals in the Americas. Suggests a really strong audience appetite there for unscripted.
Wow. Okay. This paints a really dynamic picture, lots of moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pivot slightly. Film commissions. Their role seems to be getting more strategic, more important globally.
Oh, absolutely. They've really evolved. They're crucial now for attracting productions, nurturing local talent, providing support, securing investment, all of it.
They're actively competing, basically.
Increasingly so. Positioning their regions as the place to be for production.
And we've got some data on who's been busiest. January to March this year.
Yeah, based just on the volume of project transactions they handled in Q1 2025, the top five most active were, let's see, Doha Film Institute in Qatar.
Okay.
Film Frenzy Fonds Bayern, that's in Munich, Germany.
Right.
Screen Australia, Screen NSW, also Australia, and Film iVest in Sweden.
Quite a mix geographically, really shows that global competition.
It certainly does. And like we touched on with EMEA development, governments everywhere are stepping up their game tax breaks, grants, hitting the trade events, all trying to become those go-to production hubs.
Okay, finally, let's get a sense of the mood, the outlook. We looked at the Fentrina Plus Sonet Q2 2025 Industry Outlook Sentiment Study, polling leaders in production, post, VFX. What's the vibe for the current quarter?
Yeah, this study is a great snapshot of how leaders are feeling. And the headline is, well, pretty optimistic, actually. 55% of them said they expect to be busier in Q2 compared to Q1.
Over half expecting things to pick up. That's encouraging after the March fluctuations.
Definitely. It suggests a potential rebound is underway or expected.
And was that optimism spread evenly? Or stronger in some sectors?
The production folks were the most bullish. Nearly 2 out of 3 of them expect activity to increase this quarter.
Which fits with that development surge we saw, right? Those projects starting to move forward.
Exactly. It aligns nicely. Those projects likely starting to hit the active production phase now.
Post-production, VFX. What are they seeing?
They're also anticipating more demand in Q2, but maybe slightly more measured optimism than the production side.
Which makes sense. There's always a lag.
There's a natural lag, yeah. Their work follows production. But the overall feeling in post and VFX is still positive. They seem to be gearing up for more work coming their way.
Okay, so let's try and bring this all together. For our listeners, top execs in the supply chain, what are the absolute key takeaways from this March 2025 deep dive?
Okay, first, that global dip was modest, but the regional story is critical. That big APAC drop versus the relative stability in the Americas and EMEA. You have to look regionally.
Right. Don't just look at the global number.
Second, that huge surge in development, especially driven by EMEA, that signals a really robust pipeline is building a strategic focus on future content. That's huge.
And thirdly, that cautious optimism for Q2, particularly from production leaders, suggesting maybe a bounce back or at least increased activity is expected now.
Yeah, understanding these dynamics is just invaluable for spotting those shifts, seeing the opportunities coming down the line.
Absolutely. But, which leads us, I guess, to the final thought, that provocative question for everyone listening.
Right. Given that massive development boom we saw, particularly out of EMEA, what's the potential knock-on effect? What could that mean for global demand for production services, maybe in the second half of this year?
What strategic adjustments might you need to be thinking about right now to position yourself for those shifts? Something to definitely mull over.